Welcome to Joyfully Ever After. I'm Heidi Esther, a joy and mindfulness storyteller and Midwestern mama who's been there, bringing you practical, playful, and mindful tools to guide you on the path to your Joyfully Ever After. What are the tools? Weekly encouraging messages, relatable stories, self-reflections, empowering conversations, and fun printables. All designed with one goal in mind: to guide you to feel as great as everybody else looks on social media. Yep, no matter what life brings your way, because you deserve joy. All right, here's the show. Hello there, beautiful. You are in the right place for the Heidi and Heather Show. First, I have a message for you. How are you? And how are you taking care of yourself today? Seems like I've been taking my kids and my dogs everywhere this week. Dentist, orthodontist, doctor, etc., etc. My wife even wrote a note on my responsibility wipey board. This week gonna be crazy, so give yourself some grace. So, I was about to take my first sip of hot coffee and enjoy watching Elvis, our spry 11-year-old Italian greyhound. He bounced around our yard like a happy dolphin in a squirrel hunt. He started his joyful sprint, then slowed to a three-legged run, to a desperate walk. Then he stood with his back leg in the air. Oh no. I cracked open the door and put out my hand like a stop sign. "I'll be right there, Jonathan," I shouted in my calm dog mom voice. Yep, I get my dog and son's names confused all the time. I mean, at least they're both boys, right? The culprit? A dirty cut on his back paw. Then I thought of the workshop I'm in to uncover and heal the cuts and bruises I have around my relationship with money. For me, somehow I learned that money is for everyone else. And I've been dragging around this belief like a broken leg. Now I can replace this belief with a healthy one that will allow me to walk forward with more joy and authenticity. So, my dear friend, I have two thoughts for you. I want to let you know that life is crazy, so give yourself some grace. And when you take time to listen and heal yourself, there ain't no squirrel you can't catch. Your sojourner question after the show is a fun exercise I hope you will enjoy. It was inspired by a topic Heather and I covered in our Live with Heidi and Heather show, Winnie the Pooh. All right, here's the show.
All right. All right, so welcome to the Live with Heidi and Heather show.
I'm Heidi, joy and mindfulness storyteller.
And I'm Heather, happiness expert.
And we're here to
pump
you up
with true stories, lessons, and tools to get you more joy, happiness, and personal freedom.
Come for the conversation and stay for the cute dogs.
Yay. It's kind of like a girl's weekend without the hangover.
You betcha. All right. Here is the show today.
Here is the show.
So, Heather, what are we talking about today?
Today, we are silencing our phone because we forgot. Okay. And then
cool.
We are talking about happiness. So, is it an illusion? Can we cultivate it? Maybe it's just a red herring. I don't know.
Nice.
I have my opinions, and that's what I'm going to share today.
Yeah. And I mean, you are the happiness expert, so I feel like we're getting news straight from the source today. So for all you watching the replay, just this is like the, you know, end of the line right here. So, but we're going to start out first with like, how are you taking care of yourself today, Heather?
Well, I did some yoga this morning and some journaling. But more importantly, let's see if I can show you. I am wearing my corgi sock today.
Oh.
Yes, they make me happy every day that I wear them. So, and I don't wear them every day. That's not a good idea. But every day that I do wear them, I'm always like, Corgi soft day.
Oh, it's like your feet are wrapped in corgi love.
Yes, it is. And they're a little sparkly, which usually I'm not sparkly, but I'm okay with it because it's corgis.
Yeah, because it's corgi sparkly.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, awesome.
how are you taking care of yourself today?
So today, so I've been on a journey. I don't know if I've shared this with you before, Heather, but for the last like year and a half, it's been like a plant-based journey. We kind of
Oh, I didn't
started.
know this. How
We were
exciting.
Meatosauruses until the pandemic, and then there was a whole incident in a cabin in the backwoods of the UP that involved me fishing, which that's my apocalyptic skill. I'm a fisherwoman, you
Oh, good.
know.
We're going
When
to need
this
that.
shit goes down, I will catch fish and I'll be able to eat. And my wife kind of having a meltdown. And it was right around the time I read The Blue Zones
I don't
book,
know.
which is The Blue Zone Solution is a study by Dan Buettner, and he studied the five communities with people who lived the longest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I read this Blue Zones book, and then I got the Blue Zones recipes called the Blue Zones Kitchen for my birthday. And so everything just started to fall into the plant-based space. So I've been having beans for breakfast a lot instead of like the eggs, the normal like American eggs. And today I introduced my children to the beans with breakfast. I mean, I feel like they've come a long way because, it's most, a lot of times with them, they like the bacon. So my wife and I don't eat the piggies or the cows anymore, but we still let the kids do that occasionally. So I had beans today, and the beans make me feel good. Like I'm taking care of my body, taking care of the planet. I found a really good like old school recipe for it that I had to find like weird spice for called adobo seasoning. It was weird to me
Oh,
because
adobo is spicy and yummy.
yeah. So it was not spicy. It's like the non-spicy. So
Okay.
yes. So beans, so beans.
I guess let
Yeah.
me think about that. I'm always getting chilies and adobo sauce. I guess it's the chilies that are spicy, not necessarily the adobo sauce. So the adobo sauce is more kind of like a, I don't want to say barbecue, but kind of like that kind of
A Chipotle
tangy.
smokiness. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Beans for
Yeah.
breakfast. So I've
Yeah,
heard of
beans for
beans
breakfast,
on
beans and rice, and then
toast.
I do add a little bit of cheese. And if I'm feeling really like I want something special, I will have some tortilla chips with it. So it's like I'm having nachos.
Yes.
So that's
So,
very, very
do you
yummy.
ever do like sweet breakfast? Like, I don't know, like pancakes, stuff like that?
Yeah, so I have sourdough yeast. Do you have sourdough yeast in your fridge?
I don't.
This is something like it's like a baby. You have to feed it every week or it's mad at you and it makes vinegar and it makes your fridge smell bad. So every week I make something out of sourdough. And since I've tried three times to make bread. And so I've had a full year of sourdough yeast under my belt. So three times out of the 52, I've made bread. So there's 49 other times I might have made muffins, pancakes, or waffles. So lots of old pancake around here. My kids like them. I make them with banana chocolate chip. My wife and I sometimes have like banana and craisin or banana blueberry. Sometimes we do pumpkin. So yeah, we got the whole gambit.
I totally let my friend down the other day. We were at the Cheesecake Factory. She lives in another state, and so
Yummy.
she was visiting. And we sat down, and she was like, "So, do you like pumpkin?" And I was like, "No."
Oh
She's
no.
like,
So she
"Why?"
had to get her own dessert. That's a win.
She had to get her own dessert, and I was like, "I'm really sorry, but like, I even pass up on the pumpkin pie at Thanksgiving." And she was like,
Yeah.
"Well, I'll eat your piece then." I was like, "I'm sorry. It's just not worth the calories to me. I'm sorry. I'd rather have the
Yeah.
dulce de leche cheesecake."
Yeah, you gotta, if you're gonna spend the extra calories, you gotta go with something that you love. You can't just say like, those 600 calories mean nothing to me, because for, at least for me, that's like half of my daily, at least half my daily calorie intake. Yep. It would be like that one piece of cheesecake.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back really quick to the plant-based thing. So did, because I've always been curious about plant-based, and my husband and I will eat plant-based, no problem. I have vegan friends. So did you lose weight while you were doing this? Was it because of that?
Oh, so it was right around the time that I was losing weight, but I attribute my weight loss to portion control.
Yeah.
So I was like bringing a salad to work. But it was like the salad that had like two eggs, ranch dressing, cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of croutons. So it was literally like half a gallon of salad.
Mm-hmm.
So once I started counting my calories with certain items, then over about a year and a half, I lost about 25 pounds.
That's awesome.
So plant-based happened right at towards the end of that. Okay. So, but plant-based makes me feel better. Like I feel more energetic. And now I actually think about when I'm eating meat, I think about the animals. Mm-hmm. And as an American, I guess I was just so accustomed to like mystery meat on my plate. Like I grew up with minute steaks. Like, what is that? Mm-hmm. Is that really beef?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's in the bologna column to me. I know. So now I can say like, wow, I say a little prayer for like this chicken that gave its life so that we can have like a quick weeknight meal. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So plant-based is a journey. I feel I cataloged a lot of conversations around that time so I could write. And I think I have enough material for an entire book.
Ooh.
Around the plant-based transition.
Yeah.
Lots of crankiness, lots of tears. Yeah. And we say, well, you can always go to dad's house and eat the pigs and cows.
Yeah.
Divorce family bonus.
It's true.
Fatty meat to dad's house. Yeah.
Well, totally. I'll have to send you some of my favorite vegan recipes. So.
Yes. And Heather has a fabulous, for everyone watching the replay, fabulous vegan chocolate raspberry ganache tart that I made for my birthday.
Did you make it? And did you like it?
Yeah. Yay. It's so good. It was a little time consuming, but it was worth it because it was, you know, birthday. So we'll put the link in the show notes.
Yes, we will. It is time consuming. It's not necessarily difficult. It's just time consuming because there's three layers, but it is delicious. My husband loves it, which if he loves it, then thumbs up. So
yeah,
because he's picky about the vegan things. He's open, but he's picky.
Yeah. So if he wants a more science-based approach, you can just maybe get him that Blue Zones book for Christmas, and that might give him some.
He's into alternate fasting. He fasts every other day.
Oh, that sounds painful. I get hangry like if I haven't eaten in like an hour and a half. So I can't. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I can't do fasting.
Yeah. All right. Well, what one thing are you proud of this week?
Oh gosh. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So last week my son was like, this is the week right after all of the soccer craziness is done and I don't have to pick him up at like 9, 10 at night. And he's like, oh, I just wanna, you know, hang out, you know, with my friend / girlfriend. And I'm like, okay, I'll drive you there and pick you up. And then I'm like, Sunday night is still technically weeknight.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, and then the Monday was kind of like a rough morning because I didn't have, like, there was just a lot of juggling. So after that, he and I talked and I said, I'm not gonna do that anymore. No more weeknight social chauffeuring.
Yeah.
When he gets his license, like in a year, he can socially chauffeur himself all around town.
Then you probably won't see him ever again.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So what about you?
I'm proud of that. It's not necessarily such a happy proud, but I've realized through my journaling that I've been kind of struggling over the past week. Getting the things done that I want to do that are my priorities, you know? And so just through journaling in the past couple of days, I've been like, okay, I see the problem. I see what I'm doing. Like I've just started kind of untangling it. And that's never fun, but it's an ongoing process in life that happens. And so I'm proud that I recognized it and I'm untangling it.
All right. Was it kind of like a self-sabotage thing or putting other people's priorities? That's one of my hard issues.
Oh, yeah.
Other people first, you know?
Yes, definitely that. And it's a little bit of both, putting other people's things first. And then also it's 11:11. I just want to throw that out there. Yes. So throwing the other things out there and doing other things for other people, as well as the, oh, but I need to get this done before I can do what my priority is. Mm. And so that is actually a form of sabotage, especially for me as a 9, because the things that are priorities for me are things that help grow my soul, that help promote me in this world. And I'm doing all these other little busy work that feels like I'm doing good things, but I'm not really doing what's important.
The urgent and not the important.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah. Speaking of bread, gotta make bread. We're almost out of bread. Gotta make bread. And when really probably could have waited a couple days or, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm proud of you for figuring that out. It's hard. It's hard to take that time to just sit down and figure out what's going on and just sit with the discomfort. We're so used to wanting the quick fix for everything and just, sit and feel like, oh, that's why I don't want to, I don't want to do that. It's because of this and not the other thing.
Yeah.
That's hard.
And I'm proud of you for saying, no, I'm not going to be your chauffeur back at all. Good for you.
Yeah. You know, and I tell my kids, I'm like, I'm starting a career. So, you know, things take priority. They're very important to me. And so is building out this life that we all can enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So, which involves mama getting sleep because she needs I don't know, 10 hours, 9.5, 10 hours sleep.
It's a hard lesson for kids to learn. I mean, when they're 2 or 3, I don't even know to how long, the world does revolve around them, you know, but as they get older, the world doesn't revolve around them as much anymore. And that's the lesson they need to learn.
And we're all part of a team. We're part of a team now.
Yep. The hardest lesson for me of that one, which I was like in my 40s, by the way, maybe late 30s. Anyway, I don't have kids, but when my sister had kids, I showed up for Easter and all of a sudden there was no Easter basket for me. There was just the Easter baskets for the grandkids. And I was
where
like,
are my peeps?
What the?
Chocolate bunny? At least a chocolate bunny?
I had to like walk myself back and be like, you're almost 40. It's going to be okay.
You can buy yourself your own basket.
I can buy my own damn basket and put the candy that I want in it.
That's a great. So for everyone watching the replay, please feel free to comment on how you're taking care of yourself and what you are proud of.
Yes, please do.
Yes, we want to know. We will see your comments and we want to know. We want this to be like a conversation.
Yes, absolutely.
Not just talking to our dogs all the time. Oh, not like there's anything wrong with that. I talk to my dogs all the time.
Do you want to see Ember's belly real quick? Because she had bad week last week. So she had to, she's like, no, I don't want to. Don't do it. She had to have an ultrasound.
Oh, goodness.
She's much better now. She's back to her bratty self. But you see this stage?
Oh, wow.
Oh, she hated it.
She's partially naked and afraid.
Yeah, it takes like a good 6 months for it to grow back completely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What do you think? You want to say hi to the people? Not really.
Hey, sweetheart. Glad you're feeling better.
Why?
Why, Mom?
Hi. Look down. Okay. All right. Speaking of
such a sweetie.
She makes me happy. Yes. So. All right.
All right. Let's get into it. First, you say you're Heather, the happiness expert. It's like, so how did that come about? Like, how is happiness you're hanging your hook on happiness? Like, how did that come about? And how do you manifest it to a point where you can teach people?
Okay. So, I was creating an online workshop with my business coach, and you know, I'm talking about how my path to healing and how I was a happier person now, and you do this and you become happier, do this. And my business coach was like, so you're saying the word happy a lot? Like, is that your goal for people? And I was like, yeah, I guess it is. Healing can be a lot of things, but when somebody is glowing and sparkling and comfortable in their skin and loving themselves, they're happy. So She was like, so maybe could you call yourself the happiness expert? And I was like, no, I can't do that. And she was like, well, you kind of are. And I was like, I'll tell you what, let's take away the. That was my compromise.
Because it's like the
happiness expert, but a happiness expert. Then I was okay with it. So, the more I thought about it, the more I settled into it. I was like, yeah, that's what I really want for everybody. And I know that it's possible. And that's my favorite thing in the world, is to see people blossom and learn to shine their light. And from that comes this inner happiness. So I don't think that it's a red herring. Just put that out there.
Yeah. For those of you, the red herring reference, at least for on my end, is from Clue.
I missed that.
It's okay.
From my line from Clue is always, long story short, too late.
ours is because we have a one bathroom and four people. Ours is let us in, let us out.
Oh my god. One of my other like favorite thing of Clue is my cousin, he hates his birthday. He hates it, and he's so clever and he's so smart. And so I stopped doing it because I finally have acknowledged how much he hates his birthday. But I used to like put on Facebook every year, happy birthday, you know, and then all these people underneath, oh, happy birthday. I didn't know it was your birthday, because he doesn't have it on Facebook. And I was like,
I'm sending happiness to you, even though you don't want it.
Yeah, even though you don't want it. He's basically my little brother. We like all grew up together. But and one year I was like, you know, you need to cut it out, or I'm going to send you a singing telegram for your birthday. And then he put the clip of the singing telegram from Clue. And I was like, that was the most perfect response I ever
had. Telegram.
It was perfect. I have like little moments from Facebook, especially like old school Facebook before it became what it is, that are like my favorite moments of all time on Facebook. And that's one of them. So
that's a good one. That's a good one.
Good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Often if, I don't know, we have a lot, our dogs go to the bathroom in the backyard a lot. So we end up sniffing our shoes. And so that always reminds me of Clue also. Like, when they all came in the house.
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. So, okay. So happiness is not a red herring. So would you say happiness is a journey or a destination or both?
I would say that it's a journey, because life is a journey. Life is always changing. That nothing is ever the same. You can always count on change. So I can't. I don't. How do I say this? I would say that in some ways it's a destination, because I do believe you can get to a point where you have this hum of happiness that's always through you. And sometimes that hum is louder and sometimes it's softer. But having this hum of happiness, I think, is so important, because when life throws things at you, which it will, no matter what.
That's life.
That's life, right. That if you have this foundation of happiness, it's like this reminder of, you know what, this sucks right now a lot, a huge amount, but I know it's going to be okay, because I know that I have this foundation of happiness, which is in here and not what's going on out here. So in that sense, yes, it's a destination, but I also think it's a journey, because life challenges that.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to press up against that hum.
Yeah. Yes.
And you have this kind of like cushion, like a happiness mm-hmm. cushion.
Right. And then so where the happiness expert comes in is I help people untangle issues, like I was talking about for myself, as well as teach tools to keep reinforcing that happiness. So for example, we were talking about eating well and eating healthy and how you feel better. When you keep practicing these tools, it reinforces that inner happiness. And then when you go to Thanksgiving dinner and you eat all of the cheesy goodness and bready goodness that you usually don't, and all the sugar and all the wine, and then at the end you're like, that's when you would have stopped
my Thanksgiving pants.
Yes. and that's why it's a journey, because then you're like, oh yeah, this is why I do my tools every day. You know, during the pandemic.
Yeah, I was going to say there must have been an uptick in kind of like what people needed, or maybe something different arose. Like what did people need most help with? In the pandemic,
they needed the pandemic threw almost everyone outside of their comfort zone in one way or another.
Yeah. We all had like a life moment,
right?
And for people who are used to just kind of like pretending there are no life moments, that one you couldn't pretend.
No.
I mean, there were still people who probably pretended like it wasn't a pandemic and, you know, we didn't have one and there wasn't a crisis,
And everybody got their candy taken away from them because they could no longer do all the things they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And things weren't as accessible as they were. And those are the times when your tools are the most important. And I've heard from numerous people of all walks of life, the ones who already had a practice before the pandemic said, thank God, you know, that I had these things that I knew I could hold on to and that would carry me through. And then the ones who didn't have those things, those tools, those practices, were like, and when you do your practices all the time, sometimes you're like, you know, why do I do this? But then when you don't do them, you're like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember. So that was it. I think that's why a lot of people started hobbies during the pandemic, because they needed something to focus on that brought them fulfillment inside. I think that's why so many hobbies started.
Yeah. I think one of the main things, having two moody teenagers in a small open concept house during a pandemic.
Oh my.
One of the main tools I've learned in my years of healing and growth is to figure out what's in what I can control, what I can't control, mm-hmm. and to let it go if I can't. Right? Mm-hmm. Can you control it or not? Oh, you can't? Well, then you know, it's like what I tell my son, it's just like aiming a hose at a brick wall. You're going to spend all this energy and nothing's going to happen except for the wall will be damp. Mm-hmm. Nothing's happening. So you're not watering plants or you're not doing anything productive. And so that was the big one, just kind of like letting, what are you expecting? Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you in control of that? No, you can't control what other people say about you on social media. You can't control that you can't actually physically see anybody. You can't control that, like, oh, your eighth grade graduation is like now an online virtual event that all got canceled. Okay, we can't control that. What we can do is like get you a nice takeout dinner, go take pictures in front of the sign that they made for graduates, you know, and move on. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can be angry and you can scream and yell. And then you got
to. And that's good because it gets, right? It gets energy out, right? Just don't do it at people. Just get it out.
Yeah. But if you hold on to that anger, you know, like in Buddhism, they say that's like holding on to a hot coal and throwing it at somebody that you're angry at. You're really just burning yourself. Yeah. So, it's okay to set boundaries and to acknowledge your anger and to, because that's what feelings are. They're signs and, you know, that something's wrong or something's off or that you need to address something, but let it do its signal and then move on.
Learn from it. Put the coal down.
Yeah. Put the coal down.
And put some salve on your hands.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. So
I guess I want to say like real quick, cause I honestly think this red herring thing is important. It's like a really good idea to address in that, you know, there's like the sign, the line, that's what I wanted to say, from The Princess Bride, where he says, life is pain. Anybody else who's selling you, who's saying different is trying to
sell you something.
Right. Yeah. And so I think that's what I want to say is that happiness in most ideas isn't what you think it is. It isn't euphoria all the time. Mm-hmm. And happiness is work. It takes work to find that happiness inside. And sometimes you have to walk through a lot of poo-poo to get there. Sometimes you have to walk through
the fire. Your own. It's like your own. And you don't even realize it because get all angry about walking through it, but you don't realize it's your own stuff.
Yeah. Like speaking of like that, walking through your own fire, realizing that most of your anger at other people and everything really has to do with yourself. I'm reading this excellent book called The Five Invitations by this Buddhist teacher.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
It's excellent. He actually runs a Zen hospice center. So it's the five invitations that death gives for you to learn and live a happy life. And he was talking about how he had this big challenge if he was really angry at this general in Guatemala who let a native boy die. And he was angry over it for years and everything. And then he finally realized he had to let it go and he had to work on it and work on it. And he did his metta training and everything. But what it all distilled down to was that he was really angry and disappointed at himself for maybe thinking he could have done more, thinking he could have, you know, like it was really all in here that he was angry at. And that was just one of those things that's just like,
the knife is in and it's also twisted.
Yeah. And you're like, okay. All right. It all does come down to me. Damn it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's powerful, powerful stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Just like what we see in others that just infuriates us. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
There's something in there that needs to be addressed. Right. And
so there's no shortcut, I guess.
Yeah.
There's no shortcut. It's work, but it's worth every moment.
Yeah.
With every moment.
Yeah. So. Like, have you ever seen the movie Bad Moms?
I haven't. That's the one with
Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis. Yes.
And Christina Applegate.
It looks hilarious.
So I saw it when it came out, and that was during my journey. But if I would have seen that movie, which is moms empowering themselves to take care of themselves first.
Right.
So if I would have watched that movie, like before I was on my journey, I'd have been like, oh my God, I can't believe that they got takeout for their kids for their school lunches and they didn't make them like peanut butter jelly, you know,
right.
You know, fancy shapes for lunch. So, so I've had to do, as a recovery codependent, I've had to do so much work to like, you know, put myself into my care regime. And that's why I ask myself every morning, how am I going to take care of myself today? Like even today I had a lot of things going on and my son's texting me from school. Like I have a headache. I don't feel good. And then all of a sudden it was like, I just vomited. What do you want me to do? And I'm like, I don't know. Find the nurse's office. I can't help you right now.
Yeah.
In this moment. And so then the nurse called me and I was able to pick him up and stuff. And
yeah.
I've gifted him a genetic affliction with migraines. So yeah, and he's right here, he's home and he's a little sad, but he gets to be home and take naps and stuff. So he's taking care of himself. And I get to continue to take care of mine.
He is a junior adult. And that's what happens.
Yeah, junior adult. Yeah. Yeah. Adult in training.
Have to problem solve and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't Snapchat your way out of this one. You got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He thought that was sassy. Things have some toast. Good idea for the toast. Yeah.
Toast is comfort food.
Toast is great.
Yeah. What is your comfort food, Heidi, when you're just like, what do you have?
Well, if it's a morning, afternoon, noon, it probably is toast.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like afternoon to evening, it's going to be in the chocolate realm for sure. Yeah. There's just something about like dark chocolate. And speaking of dark chocolate, so it was Halloween and my daughter was like sorting out her candy after trick or treating. And she had this whole like dark chocolate, like 85% dark chocolate bar. And I was like, who gave you that? That's really nice. And so she kind of broke off a piece and she took it. She was like, because it's very, very bitter.
It's very bitter.
And she does have a more advanced palate. She likes some of the stuff I do, but she couldn't even handle that. And so that was my big Halloween score.
Oh, nice.
So what about you? What's your comfort food?
Well, I like toast. I like ice cream. Ice cream is a big comfort thing. And honestly, like if I'm being healthy and I just like need a little bit of comfort, cheese and grapes together.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Grecian goddess diet right there.
Yeah. Yes. But I love some toast and it makes me happy. When I was in high school and we'd go to Village Inn or whatever, I'd get toast and a Coke. That was my thing.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, toast is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I know there was a running joke for a long time. I think the kids kind of were getting sick, like alternate. And I kept just bringing up toast. And then at one point, I think my daughter, like she like bruised her shoulder or whatever. She's like, Mom, what should I do? And I was like, you should have some toast.
Yeah.
And toast will help it right in there.
Yeah. Soup can be comfort food for me too.
Yeah.
It's very comforting. So
yeah. Apparently we have a ton of family recipes for soup, but they all involve like ham bones.
Oh.
And ham. And like meat. So yeah. Well, so I asked my mom about that. I'm like, oh wow.
I was gonna send you vegan recipes for my favorite soups.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Is there
yeah, you should totally do that. Yeah. And then we'll post them in the show notes.
I hope you like curry. Curry is a big
Yeah, we do curry here, so yeah. Okay. Excellent.
Very comforting.
Excellent. I wanted to kind of talk about Winnie the Pooh.
Oh,
a little bit. So this will be like my little cameo on the Happiness show. So I grew up and my blankie was just like a white, like bedtime blankie. And had Winnie the Pooh in the corner. And so I always had this connection with Winnie the Pooh is comfort. It's like my little whoopee. And
Whoopi.
Yeah, my Whoopi, and always brought me as a kid, right? That sense of comfort and happiness, that the kid kind.
Right.
But as an adult, I read The Tao of Pooh.
Okay.
And actually I'll put the link in the show notes. And I didn't read it. So when I was a kid, it always bothered me that no one ever listened to Rabbit.
Hmm.
And And Piglet was just like, he was always behind Winnie. Like, he was always afraid of like everything. And I was like, God, why can't he just like figure it out on his own? What's the deal? And like, why does Winnie have to be so happy about everything? He's not even planning things out. And so I had all this, like, even though I had the planky, I had all this angst about like all the characters. And I was like, why isn't Rabbit getting his own show? And like, nobody else Owl. And like, Kanga's just like, I don't know why I thought she was boring, because she was the mom. Yeah. Right. And so it was just like, oh, the mom's here. The fun's over. And now I'm like the mom. So I read the Tao of Pooh and I finally understood what A.A. Milne was doing with all the shows, about how each character has a certain quality or a certain flaw in them that keeps them from being happy.
So what was Pooh's flaw?
So Pooh was the only one who didn't have a flaw. He was the epitome of like the Taoist thinker. And so what that is he was very, very good at life because of he allowed it.
Yes.
He allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
And then I started reading the book about the other characters. So Rabbit was very busy. Tigger had all this energy and nowhere to put it. So he just kind of spewed it like a sprinkler over everybody. And obviously Piglet was afraid of everything. He wasn't, he didn't want to experience life. I don't know what Kanga, I don't think they talked about Kanga at all. And then Owl was like the intellectual. So always trying to, like, everyone's like, oh, let's go see Owl because Owl's so wise. So always having all the answers and everything. And so I would say I grew up in a family of like rabbits and owls, where we're taught to just think through logic, thinking. And then busy, like, I'm going to throw the word workaholism out there and, and, you know, just keep going and do. And so that's why I identify with those characters, Rabbit and Owl, more than the other ones. And I always kind of had this little inner angst for like, oh, how come everything always happens good for Winnie and why not anybody else? Jeez. Why has he got to win at Pooh six every time? Why do you always find the honey and there's no bees in there? So, and so I started practicing this as a codependent. We're very, very attached to other people, what they think and what they say and what they do. And there's no people that get the short end of the stick more so than family members of codependents. So when I read this book, I think it must have been 5 to 7 years ago, I was like, all right, so whenever any of my friends or anyone in my family says something, I'm going to pause and just like let them do them. And I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to give advice. If it's more of a parenting moment, like, I will help my kids figure something out. But like, I'm just going to let them I'm just going to actively listen and let them go. And I would pretty much say nothing short of miracles happened in my life. Like, my relationships improved somehow. Yeah. And I myself, because I was just allowing people to be themselves, it also gave me, at some point, gave me permission to be myself. And in that exchange of like, you know, I honor you for being you, I honor me for being me, that created, I think, what for me is like that happiness, that buzz of happiness, and just like allowing life to flow.
Without to having flow. To control it.
Yeah.
When you're trying to control it, you're trying to block the current. Mm-hmm. And it's very frustrating.
Like, no, it has to go this way. No, it has to go this way again. No. Yeah. Yeah. So then I found this quote. Yeah. I mean, that's not a Winnie the Pooh quote, but yeah, just like being happy in that moment because, you know, and finding that presence, that presence, and just to allowing that moment to happen without saying this moment has to be like this, or it has to turn out like this, or like, my parents were brought up, they're boomers. So they're like, you have to get a house like this, and then you got to get married, and you have to have these kids, and then they have to go to college, and then they have to be, you know, efficient, productive.
There's a formula for happiness, according to theory.
Yes. Yes. And so allowing people to find their happy, allowing me to be myself and find my happy, made me happy.
Yeah. No, I like it. There's a the nut book that I'm reading, The Five Invitations. One of the invitations is reject nothing except everything, basically. And he says that if you are rejecting anything in your life, you will never be free.
So, anything.
Anything. Ooh. Yeah. So it's accepting, and that's the part that I'm in right now. And he's just talking about how when you feel resistance to something, instead of running away from it, turn and walk toward it. And because there's a lesson there for you to learn.
That's always the scary part of the movie.
Yes.
But it's the part you want. You always want the hero to engage.
Yes, you do.
Don't run away from the dragon. You got to slay the dragon, Alice. Come on.
It's true. You do. Although in horror films, when the ghost is like, get out, you know, Eddie Murphy's like, okay, see you later. We got to get out of here.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, in a story, I'm just going to go on this island over here
So what's interesting about Winnie the Pooh, my Enneagram friends and I were discussing what numbers of the Enneagram each of the Pooh characters were.
Ooh.
And the way you were describing them was very similar in that everybody thought that Pooh was a 9, and 9s do absolutely go with the flow. The problem is that they never put their own priorities first. They just go with the flow. But still, that's they're accepting of everything. They accept people for who they are, which lets people feel comfortable around them. And then Piglet was a 6, which is the fear-based number. Is always worrying and all of that. And then Tigger was a 7.
You know, lots of energy.
Yes.
You know, spontaneous.
And Eeyore was a 4, because their 4s really enjoy their melancholy.
Oh.
And then they thought Kanga was a 2 because she was that the mother, sense. Which was kind of a, I don't know. You're right. Kanga's personality is not very fleshed out, is it?
No, she's very two-dimensional.
Yeah.
So you want to put the nurturers in a 2 spot, right?
Yeah, but it's not.
No.
I would not agree that that's necessarily a 2, just like Pooh isn't completely a 9. And, Owl was a 5 because 5s gather information. That's how they feel safe.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, the thinker. Thinker.
And, Rabbit was a 1.
Rabbit does like to have all the right answers.
Yes. And is telling people what to do and the right way to do it. So we got the 1, 2, the only one that's missing is a 3. 4.
What about Christopher Robin? Would he be the 3 then?
Maybe probably. Christopher Robin would be the 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
well, that's fun. Let's go with it. A honeypot. I mean, that shows up a lot. That could also be a 3.
Could be the 3. Yes. Giving, reading what people want and giving them exactly what they want.
Yeah. Yeah. The honey miraculously shows up at the
right time. Yeah.
That's good. All right. Well, I think we're going to move on to, No, seriously.
Oh gosh. You know what?
Yeah.
I hadn't really thought about that. So you tell yours first.
Yeah, I am totally going to tell mine. Okay. So I have a lot of pothos plants, and those are those indoor plants, and they have the pretty leaves that are shaped like hearts.
Yep.
And so I put them outside on my deck in the summer to kind of get them fresh air. And that's when they grow and try and, you know, and they actually thrive versus in my house when they either get overwatered or underwatered by this Enneagram too. And so this year, so I've been doing this for 5 years, and this year something very interesting happened. I went outside over summer and I was like, oh, and all the pothos, they're on the eaves, so they can't get, because some of the pots don't have holes on the bottom, so they can't get flooded when it rains. And it just looked like a big green jungle. And then finally I'm bringing them in and I pick up one and there's this resistance. And I was like, oh, what's going on here? And so the pothos grew a vine up my wall and it grew, and I have it pretty high or else I'd pick it up. It grew every about 6 inches or so. It had these little like fingers.
Oh, yeah.
That were like sticky, like kind of like thumbtack sticky that it used to climb up the wall. And I was like, wow. And so I was like, and so none of the other plants did it. They were like, God, why you got to be all fancy? We're just going to be here and put our leaves everywhere. So I got them out and then I fixed it up to bring it in. And then there was more resistance. And I was like, what is going on with this? And so there was only one more plant there. So I spent the next like 5 minutes kind of like pulling apart the vines that were tangled. And I thought it was the tangle, but it turns out that it had traveled a vine 4 feet off our deck into the yard, and it had rooted itself in my yard, in our hostas. So I didn't see it down there.
Yeah.
In two different places. Wow. So it has like, they're just like these big clumps of roots, and there's all my pothos are from like one pothos. So I have like 8 plants from initial one.
Yeah.
And 'cause it's like the only plant I can grow indoors that I won't kill. And I'm like, wow, this is like the super human pothos. And it just really made me think like our world is so resilient, mm-hmm. and so adaptable, yeah. that my houseplant can figure out how to survive given a situation where it's like, I'm stuck in this soil and it sucks. Oh, wait, let me go find some soil. You know, and it just like it climbed like 3.5 feet up my porch wall, and then it was in my yard. There was 10 feet of vine in my yard.
Wow.
So yeah, and then of course I thought of Jurassic Park, like life will find a way.
Yeah. Did you like have to cut the part then that was in the soil?
I didn't. I don't know what to do with that. I was thinking about cutting it and then putting it in the water and then making the roots a little better and then repotting it. I don't know. I'll have to figure it out.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you have?
And no, seriously, you know, I don't think I really have one. I'm thinking last week and leading up till today, Ember was really sick. I guess the no seriously would be that I spent at least $1,000 and we still don't know what was wrong. But the ultrasound came out fine. Her blood works fine. Her organs are fine. Like everything's fine. She just decided to throw up and not eat for 3 days and not move. Yeah. Like I'd take her upstairs with me when I was going to be in the shower so that she wouldn't hurt herself. And when I'd come out of the shower, she hadn't moved. Like she was still in the same spot. But she's okay.
That's scary as a dog owner. Yeah.
Yeah. They can't talk.
Yeah.
So I guess that would be my no seriously. Then I still don't know what was wrong, but she's okay.
Yeah. You're going to continue to love her where she's at. And she still has secrets to share. Yeah. She still has secrets to share. All right. So we're going to move on to
the ball of affirmation.
Excellent.
So we have a couple people. Feel free to, I said, introduce yourself. We're gonna pull an affirmation for you for this week. So, all right, I'm gonna pull for our viewers. I'm just gonna pull one for the both of you. Can you, I think you have to I'm pretty sure you can. It says like comments are enabled, so hopefully you can.
It's like, how are you seeing these people? I'm jealous.
Hop over. But anyway, so all right. This is for you, intrepid happiness. Ah.
Cultivate healthy and loving relationships. Ooh, that's a good one.
All right.
That's a good one.
Do you want to do one for Ember this week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want a thing? You can't see her. She's lying down. Let's see. Come here. Oh, she's like, not again, Danny. Why do you do
this? Please, Mom.
Let's see. What is it?
All right.
Oh, look at your squisher.
Embers. Ah, this might be applicable.
I try my best and let the rest go. Oh, what a good girl.
Yeah, you gotta let that illness go. You gotta just let it go.
Yeah, what do you girlfriend? Think?
Let me think. All right, Heather, yours is. Ah.
This one's for me?
Yep.
I am a pride. Oh, goodness gracious. That works. That fits perfectly. Go.
All right. And mine is. Ah, that's always helpful. I can figure it out. My real one is, I bet I could figure out who I need to ask about this.
Yes. Well, that's part of it. Like being able to find the answer is the knowledge, not having the answer, but knowing where to look for the answer. I learned that when I worked for Nextel and I was on the email customer service, online customer service. And I learned that I don't have to know the answer off the top of my head, but I have to know who to be able to call to figure out what that answer is. So, but also, isn't that what you're always telling your kids? Figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Like I try not to give them the answer more. Like, what do you think you need to do next? What do you think the next step is? That's a good one.
Yeah. So.
All right, Mary, you can figure it out. All right. You like that one? That one's for you then.
Oh. Now I can
my friend Mary, who is a cooking coach, is on with us.
Oh. Really? Yeah.
Think about fabulous food, which we talked about for about half of the show.
Mary, you should comment on what you should put a link to one of your favorite recipes. I would love
that. Oh, yeah. We were talking about plant-based recipes.
Yeah.
So plant-based or not, either way, just send us a recipe.
Yeah. We're on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay. Fantastic.
I love friends.
Yes. So good. Thank you so much for coming, Mary. It's so good to see you on here. Yay.
Yeah. Yay.
Great.
All right. Anything else we want to say?
Ah. Well, oh, go ahead.
Let's mention your gratitude challenge.
Oh yeah. So this month, November gratitude challenge. I'll put a link in the show notes and pick up your prompt and you can go to the Live with Heidi and Heather Facebook group and we'll be doing a prompt there every day. Also at my Heidi Esther author page and there's links to get the little freebie download and would love to see you on there and you get to show some gratitude and get some good heart feelings and all that good stuff.
Yes, it's a good time. Gratitude is important because it cultivates more things for you to be grateful for. You're saying to the universe, I'm grateful for this. And then, oh, you like those things. And then it brings more of those things and more things. And it also helps with happiness. It's a great happiness tool.
Manifest the good stuff.
Yeah. So, and for all of you listening now or on the recording, if there's something you'd like us to talk about specifically, comment and we will address it. Otherwise, next week is personal freedom. Right?
Yep. Yeah, we're talking about personal freedom.
Excellent.
What is it? What does that mean? How do you get there? Why it's important? Mm-hmm. People talk a lot about freedoms like, you know, Declaration of Independence, those kind of freedoms. Those are great. Well, that won't be those. This is more the inside job freedoms.
Yes. It's always about the inside job.
Yep. Yep. Happiness as an inside job.
And I'm going to selfishly, what do you call
yeah,
it?
Yeah, your book.
Yes, thank you.
When's your paperback book coming out?
The paper, so that there's already a ebook, and I am meeting with my editor tomorrow to go over the fine-tuned details, and hopefully by December 1st, hopefully. So the ebook is already out there. If you can't wait and you want to buy it, there are mm-hmm. some changes in it that is coming out with the paperback. But when that one is published, the ebook will update with all of the new information. Ooh. If you've already bought it. So just so you know,
yeah,
and that has all my tools for happiness in it. So,
yeah. And, there's a link to her book, her ebook.
Thanks.
Yeah. Great. All right. Well, thanks so much for showing up and sending you love, light, and laughter and happiness.
Yes. Yes. And sorry. I was reading Kitchen Time. She does intuitive cooking. And I was like, that sounds scary.
That's pretty terrifying for me. I'm a recipe person.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Mary's got some skills though.
I admire that. So you were saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, that we were closing. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Sending you much love, light, laughter, and happiness until yes. November 17th.
Till November 17th. Great. Thank you, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed the show. Here's the Sojourner question. The Winnie the Pooh inspired exercise. It's called Calling in My Winnie. In The Tao of Pooh, author Benjamin Hoff breaks each A.A. Milne character down into their core way of being. For Winnie, he's the epitome of Taoism. He allows life to happen. He lives in the present. He is calm and joyful. For all the other characters, they have an overage of something that prevents them from fully enjoying life. If they could only see! And the show notes, there's a link on a slideshow if you'd like more information on the characters. After this exercise, you'll be able to see when you're a little off and call in your Winnie. Embracing the values of Winnie the Pooh will help you find your inner Zen master, literally. More peace, more happiness, more flow. Boom, baby. First, please note that it's totally okay to have a favorite character who is not Winnie the Pooh. They're all adorable, beautiful, loyal friends. Step 1. Pause. When you're feeling crappy or not enjoying all that life has for you, take a break. Take care of yourself. And when you're ready, step 2. Forgiveness. Remind yourself, you are enough. You're a human in progress. As such, you'll go through all the feelings of all the characters from time to time, because you're human. The key is to just not stay stuck in the more unhelpful ones. Step 3. Congratulate yourself. Take 30 seconds, a couple deep breaths, and try and cultivate some feelings of pride. Be proud of yourself, and maybe even give yourself a bear hug, for taking time to listen to yourself. And step 4. Identify. What character most resembles how you're feeling right now? Here's a little breakdown. Eeyore frets. He assumes the worst and isolates himself. He keeps his head low and his expectations lower. Piglet hesitates and, as a result, fears for the future. Even if it's just walking under a tree. He second-guesses himself. He leans on Winnie to be brave and to take action for him. Owl pontificates. He gathers much but does not act on it. He waits to see others to share his knowledge, whether he's invited to or not. Rabbit calculates. Man, I totally identify with this workaholic plan for everything bunny. With so much going on in Rabbit's brain, however, there's no room to enjoy anything. And he often overthinks things and overcomplicates situations. Tigger's like a lightning bolt. He has energy for everything, but he doesn't take a break to focus it or think about his future. Sometimes he gets caught in trees and other sticky situations. Step 5. Be honest. Journal or talk with a trusted friend about what inner character or characters could be getting in your way. Yes, you can have more than one. Process what characters you're resonating with. What thoughts have you had or actions are you taking that are like Eeyore, isolating you from taking care of yourself, seeing friends or family more often, or avoiding other responsibilities? Common symptoms of this are depression, hopelessness, I give upness, excessive hermit syndrome. Piglet, preventing you from taking steps forward towards your next goal or dream, a first date, or applying for the job. Common symptoms are worry and anxiety that keep you from enjoying things you normally like to do, like sleeping or eating or playing Pac-Man, or catching yourself saying a lot, I'm afraid that, or I worry that. Owl, amassing knowledge but not putting it into practice or using it to help others. Common symptoms are perfectionism, always trying to teach people things you know they don't want to hear, interrupting others to make sure they know the right answer, or imposter syndrome. Rabbit, focusing your energies on the doing and the planning instead of the feeling and enjoying of life. Common symptoms of this are being a woman, burnout, overwhelm, exhaustion, feeling like you have to be doing something or you feel guilty, always preparing for life but feeling like you're missing it. Tigger, enjoying many things and pursuits but not pausing to listen to yourself on what to focus on for the future or what might feel right for you. Common symptoms of this are roller coaster emotions, the no purpose zone, the squirrel syndrome, and exhaustion. Step 6. Calling in your Winnie. Now that you've brought the light of awareness to what might be keeping you from living a more joyful and authentic life, here are the next steps to call in your Winnie, based on how you answered the above. For all characters, there's 2 steps. First, practice self-compassion. Make an effort to meet yourself every morning with this question. How can I take care of myself best today? And no excuses. Follow through on what you need. You matter. Second, claim your freedom. Can you forgive and let go? Can you learn your lesson and then let it go? Can you be grateful for the opportunity and then let it go? If not, write out what's keeping you stuck and write out the pros and cons of holding on to this feeling or person or situation. Be sure to add personal freedom into the pros column. All right, here are the other actions to take based on the characters that you chose. Eeyore, make time for play. Be brave and try something out of your comfort zone. Call a friend and hang out. Adopt a mantra like, I am worthy. I am loved. Piglet, make a plan. Write down your next important goal. Visualize every day accomplishing that goal. Feel how you will feel when you get to that goal. Find an accountability buddy or buddies. Then take a baby step every day to get there. What is your first step? Adopt a mantra like, I am brave. I can do this. Owl, make a list of your knowledge, skills, and gifts. On the next page, write down ways that feel good to you to use those in the world. Then do something. Also, try the Eeyore exercise. You can adopt a mantra like, I use my gifts to help others. I am kind. Rabbit, build non-doing into your life. Take a walk, smell the hot chocolate, pet your dog, meditate, watch clouds. Enjoy being you and practice boundaries. Let go of the responsibilities that are the shoulds. Keep those that bring you joy. Ask for help. Also try the Eeyore exercise. You can adopt a mantra like, I am worthy because I am, or I treat myself as a friend. Tigger. Build breathing room into your life. Look at your fun and goals and prioritize them. Can you focus on your top few goals and say no to some others? Adopt a mantra like, I make a difference, or I create balance in my life. Once you take a few simple steps, you'll soon be calling in your Winnie, a true Zen master. Announcements. I have a 1-minute poll. Can you answer this 2-question poll by Friday, November 12th? The link is in the show notes. I have a new thing coming up. It's called Question of the Week. Your question? Who's your favorite Winnie the Pooh character? Answer it in the Live with Heidi and Heather Facebook group. That link is also in the show notes. And don't forget to pick up your November 2021 Gratitude Challenge sheet. The link to that is also in the show notes. Really, it's good for any month. All right, that's it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show and the message and all the Winnie the Poohness. Sending you love, light, and laughter. Until next week, I'm Heidi Esther.